Let's jump to some cases. The Oklahoma City bombing, April 19, 1995. Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were to be tried in our state. But it would seem this would not be a fair place to try them. You were one of two judges that got involved with that, and you took charge of it immediately.
Because I was chief when that happened. And all of the federal district court judges in Oklahoma City recused. So I had to decide who was going to try the case. The whole process was so shocking because when it happened, I immediately called Bill Holloway in Oklahoma City, and nobody answered the phone. I tried all kinds of people. Nobody answered the phone in the federal courthouse. I mean, it was shocking because that was right across the... Robert Henry told me afterwards, glass was broken in his windows of his chambers. But he happened not to be at his desk at the time.
I mean, in the federal building near.
In the federal building across from where it occurred.
From the Murrah building.
Yeah. So all the trial judges in Oklahoma City recused. And it's the responsibility of the chief of the circuit to replace judges when judges recuse. All of them. So I came down here and I pulled out books where I could read who all the trial judges in the circuit were. And I pick Dick Mage, trial judge in Denver. A Republican appointee who I considered him one of the fairest judges I knew because he was. He just was. So I called him up. He said, okay. So I was the one that selected him to try the case.
He moved the case then to Denver.
Yes, because that's where he is, which was a good idea because it got out of where, I mean, it would have been bad to do it here where it happened, especially in Oklahoma City.
Right. Not many people know that story, how that happened.
Yeah.
What kind of a court would he run, Richard Mage?
He'd been in the military, worked at a stand-up desk, was a stand-up guy. That's one of the reasons I picked him, because he's fair, but he ran a tight ship. So he did. He's the kind of judge that listens to both sides.
People in Oklahoma City and in Oklahoma wanted to get their pound of blood or what have you, or gallon, and I suppose that was upsetting to many that it was being moved out of Oklahoma.
I don't know. I mean, no. I'm sure a lot of the public might have thought that, but, you know, you really didn't want to try it in a building where the windows were broken because it was across the street where the bombing occurred, which is why all the federal judges over there recused.
We have the interview with Stephen Jones, who defended Timothy McVeigh. Those of you who are interested in this case, you can listen to his interview. In fact, Judge Mage, he died this year, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It's very sad.
As you said, you have a special interest in Native American rights, and you served on the Joint Federal-Tribal Relations Committee of the 9th and 10th Circuits, mm-hmm. founding member of the Oklahoma State Federal Trial and Judicial Council. You wrote an interesting decision shielding Indian tribal casinos from Oklahoma taxation. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Indian law basically didn't exist as taught in law schools when I went to law school, and I didn't know anything about it until I moved to Oklahoma. I didn't have any cases when I was a practicing lawyer. I had to learn Indian law when I became a federal judge. I think we still have 39 tribes here. Oklahoma was Indian country, as you know. When five civilized tribes were kicked out of the East, they settled here. It wasn't a state at the time. Most states have reservations that have been set up for Native Americans. We don't have reservations here. The Native Americans own their land in fee simple because they were here for the white guys.
Do we call that sovereign?
Yes. They did treaties with the federal government in the early 1900s because settlers, white settlers, were coming out here. And the tribes had jurisdiction over a huge amount of the whole state, basically. So the federal government paid them money to reduce their boundaries so that white settlers could come and actually own the land. That was a process that occurred mostly in the early 1900s. I had a case, it was in the 80s, I think, late 80s, Creek Nation Bingo, as you know. Bingo became a great moneymaker, and they were going to build a casino on their land here. And the state said, no, you can't. Or the state wanted to tax them. I can't even remember what the facts were, but I got the case, really learned about Indian law, and ended up holding the state, could not tell them what to do. It was their land, and they were sovereign nation. That was one of the early cases, and I'm going to now tell you about a current case because it's fascinating. About a year ago, I can't remember his name, a Creek Indian was tried in state court for murder. and was convicted. A lawyer here in town who does a lot of Indian law, who wasn't involved in the original case, filed a habeas petition in federal court claiming that he was wrongfully convicted because the boundaries of the Creek Nation were never lawfully disestablished. That's what they called it in the early 1900s. There's been a bunch of cases, including a Supreme Court case. They had to use certain language in the treaty to make it clear that the tribe was giving up its sovereign land. And this lawyer filed in federal court claiming that the state trial was unconstitutional because this was still Indian land, still part of the Creek Nation, because the boundaries were never properly disestablished. He lost in trial court here, panel of my court, I wasn't on it, in a 120-page opinion, reversed and said, oops, they didn't use the right language and the boundaries were never disestablished. There are 1.8 million Oklahomans that are not Indian within those boundaries, including all of Tulsa County. How's that? Tim Timkovich was on the panel. It was written by Scott Matheson, who was appointed by Obama. Anyway, he wrote the opinion. And there were two Democrats, and Tim, a Republican from Denver, were on the panel. And he joined it, and I sat with him on a panel shortly after that. I said, okay, Tim, I'm kind of surprised. He said, I can't tell you how hard I tried and my four law clerks tried not to come out that way, but it was your blankety-blank opinion in 1989. So anyway, he joined the opinion. It was unanimous in the Tenth Circuit. The state filed a petition for certiorari with the Supreme Court and asked the Tenth Circuit to stay its effectiveness of the opinion pending Supreme Court review, pending certiorari, so the case has been stayed. So for the moment, it isn't applicable. We are still in the state of Oklahoma as Tulsans. Went to the Supreme Court. They granted certiorari. They heard argument last spring, and my former colleague, Neil Gorsuch, who was on my court for 10 years, recused. So there are only 8 justices deciding this case. And everybody thinks they're split 4-4 because they didn't come out with an opinion, and they said they were going to hear it re-argued this fall. They were going to re-argue it. That hasn't happened yet. I'm totally speculating because I haven't talked to Gorsuch, but he and Timkovich were good friends. They were both in Denver, both on our court. My guess is Tim went down and sat in his office and said, oh my God, look at this case. What am I going to do? Help me figure this out. And that's why he recused. But now we've got a Supreme Court that's...
So what's going to happen if they're 4-4?
I don't know. They haven't re-argued it. Congress could fix it because Congress is over all of us, federal, state. Congress could pass a law fixing this treaty. But whether it's able to do that or not, I don't know. It's fascinating. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating.
We might be in the middle. And if we are in the Creek Nation, then these crimes like murder would be tried in federal court by law. There's a statute that said major crimes committed in Indian country are tried in federal court, not state court.
It would turn everything upside down here,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, it would. We wouldn't have any state taxes.
Right.
We might get some Creek Indian taxes. Murphy versus somebody is the name of the case.
Currently in our state, here in 2019, we have an impasse between Governor Kevin Stitt and the major 5 tribes regarding the gaming compacts. You may have a comment on it. I do this for historical value for those who are listening back. The tribes earn $4.5 billion each year thanks to casino-style gaming, and of that money, anywhere from 4-10% goes back to the state in exclusivity fees. The 15-year deal is set to expire in January. The governor wants to renegotiate the terms of the agreement. Tribes say the compact automatically renews if new agreements aren't reached, but the governor disagrees. I don't know if you have an opinion.
I don't, because I haven't read any of it, but that's a fun legal question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is what makes my job so fun. Fascinating questions.
Yeah. The tribes have come together, the 5 major tribes united for Oklahoma. I read on their website last night, there's not a sector in this state untouched by the tribes. Oklahoma Native Americans are leading the way when it comes to funding schools, building hospitals, constructing roads, repairing bridges, operating businesses, and supporting communities.
Well, it's clear that the casinos are their big money maker. A lot of them were in a lot of poverty before they started operating
Yeah.
casinos.
I think they've reached out to the Fed level. I don't know how far this could go.
It will be tried in federal court.
Yeah.